Sukhothal. Kultur, wo unter tut geht. Das ist Subkutan auf Radio Rabe. Mein Name ist Zita Bauer und heute spricht Aviv Schaps mit Ursina Haselbacher über Fast Fashion. Die Sendung heute ist auf Englisch, weil dies am angenehmsten für die beiden ist. So that's why I switch to English right now. Spring, Summer, Autumn and Winter. In the past, fashion labels launched new collections only 4 times a year. In the last 20 years, this changed radically. Every month, stores offer new clothes. Fast fashion is the term used to describe this. Fast fashion allows us, the consumers, to get a new look or the next trendy garment at an affordable price. The fast fashion industry is built on cheap labor and cheap materials, often at the cost of human lives. This week is the 10th anniversary of the Rana Plaza factory disaster, an event that shocked and reshaped the fashion world. Today we have a live guest in the studio. It's Ursina Haselbacher from the Fashion Revolution movement. Fashion Revolution was founded 10 years ago in response to the tragic Rana Plaza factory collapse in Bangladesh. Ursina is the coordinator of the Bern section of Fashion Revolution, and together with Aviv Schaps, they will talk about how what we wear affects those who make it and what we can do to influence fast fashion politically and individually. Get down! Subkutan.
Kultur. Wundertrugat. My name is Aviv Schaps. I'm in the studio with Ursina Haselbacher from Fashion Revolution. Hi, Ursina.
Hi, Aviv. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. On April 23rd, 2013, deep cracks began to appear in the building of Rana Plaza, an 8th-floor garment-making factory in Dhaka, Bangladesh. The next day, a power cut caused the diesel generators on the roof to kick in. Within 90 seconds, the building collapsed, killing at least 1,134 workers and injuring more than 2,500. Ursina, do you remember that day?
I remember reading about that incident. I remember reading about it. I don't remember really making a direct link to my own consumption. I think that only started much later. Yeah.
And is this event affected the reason why you decided to join to Fashion Revolution?
I got in touch with Fashion Revolution a few years later when Pauline, who founded Fashion Revolution Switzerland, held a talk and presented what they were doing. And I found it really interesting, and I got very inspired and wanted to join. And that's how I ended up in the city chapter here in Bern. And then later on, I took over the coordination of the local team here.
And at the same, in response to this event, actually, Fashion Revolution was founded in London. And the Swiss branch is active since 2016. And the highlight of your annual activities is the Fashion Revolution Week, which take place now in April to mention a decade for Rana Plaza. Why is it important to remember this event?
This event has been, for a lot of people, it was kind of a wake-up call. For a lot of people working in the industry, for a lot of people consuming clothes, like we all do, this was a very, very important moment because the awareness about the really difficult conditions, problematic conditions in the fashion industry were not, the awareness was not that good. So a lot of people working in the industry, being part of the industry, were not aware about the conditions. And this incident created awareness about the problem. So a lot of people from then on, from that moment on, changed their way of thinking of going about their work, changed the place they worked, even, yeah. So, and also the people in London who started Fashion Revolution, they felt like it was consumers also who could do something about this. So that's why they started the consumers movement, Fashion Revolution, with the hashtag Who Made My Clothes. It was the idea was for consumers to pose the question to the companies producing the clothes or making the clothes, selling the clothes, to ask them, where are my clothes produced, under what conditions, and who made my clothes?
Yeah, so actually the collapse was a wake-up call for transparency about who makes our clothes and which changes happened because of the event of Rana Plaza.
Well, first, like I said, a lot of people got aware. That's the first most important step. And then also it became clear that a lot of the companies producing in that factory, Rana Plaza, did not even know that they were producing there. So it just made, like you said, the transparency, it made clear that there is no transparency in this industry. So that's what we and we at Fashion Revolution and a lot of different organizations wanted to tackle. So the conversation started about this. There was a lot of conversation going on about the issue, and this transported later on into also companies feeling the need to talk about their production. There has been a lot of talking. I don't think that they're really in the core of the issue, that there has been a lot of change. So the discussion has been kicked off, and for the last 10 years there has been a lot going on a conversation level, I think. There has been regulations in terms of the security of the buildings. There have been a few things going on, and then, in terms of the conditions people work in, I think there's still a lot of potential because nothing really, really happened.
So, yeah, from what I have read, also there was one agreement for the Bangladeshi workers, for example, that. From now on, since the event of Rana Plaza, when workers in a fashion industry factory, when they discover a certain bad condition of the building, they can say to their employers, we are not coming to work. And this is now is protected by law. Because, for example, in the Rana Plaza event, they saw a day before that it's about to happen, but they were threatened that they must come to work in order to receive their salaries. Also, another thing that happened is that companies such as H&M, Zara, Levi's, on one hand, they signed on an agreement in order to make the conditions better. But on the other hand, we, the consumer, we want to continue to buy cheap. So what they did, they just transported their factories from Bangladesh to other countries, which there is no agreement, which are protected by law. And the workers are still in bad conditions. Does something really got better in the last years in factories in order to protect workers on a global level?
I wouldn't say that with the companies that were directly related to this incident, that there has a lot that has happened. I think a lot of companies, a lot of new projects and new companies and new labels were created as a response to this. So the term fair fashion has come up in the last 10 years mainly. It existed before, but I think it really got big only the last few years. And a lot of new companies or other companies decided that they want to be, the opposite of what the conventional fast fashion companies are doing. So I think that's a big thing that happened with the fast fashion companies, because they have such huge volumes still. I think it's just a very, very huge challenge to really move something.
And those fashion factories of those fast fashion production companies, they name sweatshops. Why actually we call this tickling term a sweatshop? You can describe us a picture of that.
Well, because I think it's because the conditions there, people have to work extremely long hours and it's really hard, and they are paid very badly, and in the consequence it's just very stressful and very well, you sweat a lot working there, I guess. I think that's where the term comes from. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, also in our talk before, you mentioned about that those factories are also not so healthy.
Yeah, exactly. So what, on the one hand, we have the whole payment, the salary issue. And then on the other hand, we have the critical conditions in the company. So the protection those people have when producing clothes. For instance, if a clothing is colored, if it's dyed, there's a lot of heavy chemicals in the used in the process, and the protection from those chemicals is not guaranteed in a lot of cases, for instance. And also we always have a problem with dust in those companies, because textiles produce a lot of very, very small particles that fly around in the air, and if you breathe that in, this concerns your lungs. So we have a lot of health issues, a lot of health topics that are also going on in these companies. So that's, of course, one of the big issues we are talking about.
Thank you. Is it possible, in your opinion, that event like Rana Plaza will happen again?
Well, I and we from Fashion Revolution are convinced that Rana Plaza could happen again exactly the same way it did 10 years ago, because there is still a lot of intransparency, and as you said, not every country has the same base, the same laws. There have been some changes, but in other countries it's still, like you said, they moved the production, so there's still a lot of tragic potential for something like this to happen again.
And in summary, what do you think need to change legally in order that it will not happen anymore?
Well, I can only talk for Switzerland, because we are in Switzerland here, and we can, as a country, we can make companies who want to sell their products in Switzerland obey to certain laws. So what we can do is we can give them guidelines, give them conditions that they have to fulfill, so they can sell our products, their products here. So we have a huge handle for you know, for putting pressure on those companies on a legal level. I think Switzerland has a good position to pose laws, and that will, of course, forward, because we have to work, of course, also on a EU level together for this. But in the end, every country has to tackle this on their own, and has to create laws for the products that are sold on their grounds.
Yeah. You have in mind a quick, maybe one example of one regulation that can be put out in Switzerland?
Of course, yeah. So we had the Konsenverantwortungsinitiative that wasn't taken on by the public, but this law, the laws that are now developing from, with the same ideas, with the same principles of the Konsenverantwortungsinitiative, are very important for us, because they tell companies that they have to pay living wages, which means that the producers in the factories have to they will receive money with which they can live and also feed their family and still have something to put aside for later. So that's I think a really important point.
True. So Hursina Haselbacher is here in the studio with me. And we showed and talked about the problematic and abuse working condition in the fast fashion industry. Now we will have a short break with a song by Anushka Bibi. She is based in Toronto and has Balangashi roots with the song Ruined My Life. And then we will talk about possible solutions for more ethical fashion industry.
I'm trying to ruin my life for this shit. Makes you not wanna stay alive, kinda shit. Don't leave me high and dry tonight, cause I'm trying to be a true religion kind. Want you to regret waking up in my bed. Want you to tell your therapist about me. I'm trying to ruin my life for the shit, for the shit. I wanna ruin my life for the shit. Want you to regret waking up.
Hello everyone, we are back on our live talk on fast fashion, remembering a decade since the Rana Plaza garment factory disaster. I'm Aviv Shaps, and with me in the studio, Ursina Haselbacher, the Bern coordinator of the association Fashion Revolution. Hello again, Ursina.
Hi.
We have been talking about labor abuse in the fashion industry, mostly from fast fashion brands. Those are not only harming people, but also the planet. So we want to take a moment to talk about the environment aspect. I've printed a photo, and it's here in front of us. And for the listeners, you can also find those pictures on our RAB website. So you can see the photos of Sina as well. Mm-hmm. So here in the first picture, we actually see a desert. But instead of mountains of sand, we see here mountains of clothes laying like a gigantic rug in the hot sun. And this is Atacama Desert in Chile, which is actually a dumping ground by clothes. But it's not only used clothes, because in fact, we see here another picture, a close-up, where we see a swimming wear push-up bra, color brown from H&M, and it has the label on it. It's completely brand new and it was never worn. Why actually there are new clothes in those dumping sites?
Well, the problem with the fast fashion industry is that they produce so much because they always want to have everything available for the customers, so they produce huge amounts, and they usually produce too big, too much, and then if it's not sold, it just lands up on landfill or in the desert, even worse. So one of the biggest issues is that we have such a huge overproduction that does not even match up with our consumption, even if our consumption is also very, very high. There's even more being produced, and what's not sold, what can't be sold, what maybe is flawed or is a little bit ripped or and can't be sold anymore, it just ends up directly going to the trash, which is obviously a lot of resources wasted.
Horrible. So in this pessimistic view, we'd go to the optimistic way. And then actually what we can do as individuals, Ursina, you are part of Fashion Revolution, which is a movement that acts for positive change in fashion and try to create balance between people, environment, economy. In the first part of the interview, we mentioned really those political change, but we just need to stop buying clothes.
Well, Fashion Revolution has, I always describe it as we want two things. On the one hand, we want to, to make clear to people that there is a huge issue, and we want to inform about this issue and about the roots and the details. And on the other hand, we believe that fashion is a way of expressing yourself, and it's a fun thing to do. So we do not promote just banning everything and not buying clothes anymore. But what we want to do is show ways how you can consume clothing and have fun with clothing without people, the planet, animals, or resources being overexploited. So what we try to do is show how you can consume fashion that without harming anyone or anything, which just you have the possibility of of repairing, of changing your clothes, of upcycling, of maybe swapping with your friends or even with a bigger community, of sharing things that you might not need every day. And then also there's always a possibility of buying secondhand if you need something, because there is obviously, as we see on the picture, there's a lot of clothes already here on the planet already produced that are not used. So the best thing is to use what we have already and then grow from there. And if you need something new, you can, for instance, also buy fair fashion, buy with companies that specifically talk about where they produce and who produces the clothes and under what conditions. Because usually fair fashion companies, they are very transparent about their production because they want to be directly responding to the issues of the fast fashion industry.
Amazing. And another way is actually to pay attention to the quality of our favorite garments that we have already. And what do we need to do in order to maintain long life of our clothes?
Well, in general, just see that you care good for the clothes. You can, for instance, wash clothes in a way that destroys them and wash them in a way that cares for them. If you wash them less hot, for instance, this could help. Or also if you wash them less, because washing is also a big ecological problem. We usually tend to wash our clothes too much, too often. Especially with natural fibers, you can also just hang them outside and then they will be fresh again, so you don't need to wash them every time. That's also one thing you can do. If a clothing is ripped, if a favorite piece of yours has a hole or has a ripped seam, then you can maybe just repair it or have it repaired.
Yeah. And for a final question, on an ethical, actually, level, it means that we want to respect our clothes. We want to respect the people who make the clothes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any clothes in your closet that you have any kind of special connection with?
I like to have clothes in my closet. With all of them, I have a special connection. in other words, I'd like to have just favorite pieces in my closet, because clothing is a way of expressing myself. I also transport how I feel, and I have, for instance, clothing that I made myself, because I have the privilege of time and also of the skills to do that. And of course, if I made a clothing myself, it has a strong emotional bond. I have a strong emotional bond with it, because a lot of work was put in it, and this also helps me feel what sewers, producers of clothing feel like a little bit, just. And then also, for instance, I like to buy secondhand, because I feel it's really interesting that the clothing already had a life before me, and that it already experienced things. And I always like to imagine what the clothing experienced before it came to me, or before I had it. And then I have some pieces that are just connected with memories that I have had for a long time, and that have lived for a long time with me on my path. Yeah.
If you stay in the same size.
Exactly.
Ursina, thank you very much for coming here for the interview.
Thank you, Avi, for having me.
Yeah, it was inspiring, and I know that I will not look on clothes in shops anymore the same.
Get down! Subkutan. Kultur. Vondrukat. Talk.
This was a conversation between Aviv Schaps and Ursina Haselbacher from Fashion Revolution. Fashion Revolution is an international movement with a brand in Switzerland. This week is Fashion Revolution Week. It's all about the Rana Plaza disaster, which was exactly 10 years ago. There are many events taking place in different Swiss cities. You can find all the information on the website of Fashion Revolution, or also on our website, rabe.ch. There you find also various articles about the fashion industry by writer Sumedha Vamulakonda, an ethical fashion activist who campaigns against human rights abuses in fast fashion production. This was today's talk. Bleibt dran.
Einfach gutes Radio.